Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you again this morning, and I pray, Father, that you, Lord, just calm my heart to bring things to remembrance that you once said. And Father, I ask you to take control of my mind and my mouth, the actions of my hands and feet. These people need to hear from your word and from the Holy Spirit, Father. They don't need my opinions. They need what you have to say. And Lord, so I pray you bless the service and give me a fresh unction from on high. And if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray today could be the day of salvation for them. Work as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Title of this morning's message is Glory in Tribulations. Glory in tribulations. Said I had a conversation with Pastor Kinney this week, talked to him a little bit, and that idea of all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But in Romans chapter 5, it starts out with, it's therefore. We'll see why in a little bit. But it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, how, or who, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, our opening text, it starts with the word therefore. It's building off the end of chapter 4 here in Romans. So I want you to look back at verse 16 of Romans 4. And it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is only of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was also spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, 99 years old, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, about 90 years old. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that that which he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, for my sin and your sin, and was raised again for our justification. That's what the therefore is referring to. Okay? It's faith in the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the payment for our sins. Amen? For your sin, my sin. If you think you have not sinned, you just sinned. Okay? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's payment for our sins, and his resurrection is proof that he had victory over sin, over death, and over hell. Very simple. You want to go to heaven? Trust in Jesus Christ alone to save your soul, to take you to heaven when you die. You want to go to hell? Any other religion can take you there. It can be any religion. If you're depending in the Baptist church to take you to heaven, you'll split hell wide open. So I'm not just picking on other denominations. Churches don't save people. Jesus Christ saves people. So if you're here this morning You don't have to be a member of Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church to go to heaven. You do have to be saved to be a member here. Okay? You have to know Christ is your Savior. If you're here this morning and you have never been willing to humbly admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save your soul, the Bible says you're lost and undone, without hope, and without God in this world. And so I'm not necessarily preaching to lost people, unsaved people this morning, but I want you to have opportunity. At the end of this message, we'll give an invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, if you can understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, we'll show you from the Word of God how you can know, according to God's Word, that your sin is forgiven and that you have a home in heaven with Jesus Christ, according to His Word. So it says, by faith in our text, again, you want to be saved, the therefore says, therefore being justified by faith, see, not of works, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with Him. I don't know about you, but I want to have peace with Him. You can take the world and give me Jesus. Okay, I know this. I've read the end of the book. If you haven't, I've read the end of the book, and I know that everyone who's with Jesus wins. Everyone who's not with Him loses for all eternity. For all eternity. But it says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that an amazing statement? You know, believers don't sorrow the same as unsaved people do who have no hope. We've had some loved ones taken from amongst us. When a person doesn't know Christ as Savior, they have no hope of seeing that person again. We have the promise of Almighty God that we'll see them again. Amen? Amen. So it tells us there, and not only so, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations also. Really? Really? When it happens to you, do you just say, thank you, Jesus? I needed that. Is that what you say when the tribulation comes? No. Okay. So today, I want to talk to you about glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. Turn to Acts 14. Give you a few scripture verses this morning. Acts 14. Starting at verse 19. And this is Paul ministering. And he says, there came thither certain Jews, Acts 14, 19, from Antioch to Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been, what? Dead. Howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. See, the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul is telling him in this epistle by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we can glory in tribulations. Is that the American attitude? No. It's not. You know, is that the attitude of people who aren't surrendered to Jesus Christ? No. It's the opposite of the old nature. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are still in the old man, the Bible says. You're controlled under that nature. If you're here and you're saved, you're double-minded. You have an old nature that you must put down, and you have a new nature given to you by God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why? End of that chapter. That was verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. The end of that chapter says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And we have that. So now you know what happens, believer? We have to choose which nature or which man we're going to feed. The natural, the old nature, you know what we want to do? We want to whine and complain. Right? I was with John and Oon yesterday. John told me as I was leaving his place, he says, "You tell your wife that she's a ghost." They're visiting here this morning. I was with them yesterday. And he goes, "You keep saying you have a wife, but I haven't seen her yet." I said, "You will. She's back Tuesday." And he says, "You make sure we get to meet her." He wanted to know. He wants to meet the woman who can put up with me. That's how that works, I'm telling you. Okay? Judy will tell me, you know, men, women don't think they do it, but they do too. And that sometimes we get in the pity parties and we want to whine and complain, right? I've never been in Eeyore, but I've met a few. Woe is me. I lost my tail again. I can't find it. And if we find it, I'll just lose it again. You ever meet anybody who seems that way? There's joy in serving Jesus. Amen. Amen? We whine, we complain. Little children. All right? We whine and complain. Do you know, we're not the only ones. You know, people did it in the Bible too. You know, sometimes it's okay to whine to God. Because he's the one who will always listen. Amen? Turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Let's see if I got it. This is Psalm of David. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." Jump to verse 10 of the same psalm, Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 10. "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies." Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, we could go many, many more places like this, but turn to Psalm 88. There's a psalm in my Bible that says, No man cared for my soul. And the Lord tells us he does. Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh to the grave. Jump to verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee I have cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend, thou wast put far from me, and mine acquaintance in the darkness. A person crying out from their heart. From their heart. Back in Romans chapter 5. See, because you know what we'll do? When it's our problem, we're crying out to God. When someone else is a problem, we have to be careful that we say, well, they're just not trusting in God. No, if they just trusted in God more, that wouldn't be a problem for them. They'd be able to get through this. Oh, nuts. When thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. Psalm 27. It tells us in verse 3 again, but not only so, Romans 5, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing tribulation worketh patience. We glory in tribulation. It's, you know, it doesn't say tribulation, singular. It says tribulations, plural, multiple. If you didn't go into them now, you're gonna be. And when you come out of them, there's another one coming. Right? I don't know about you, but without Jesus Christ, that's kind of overwhelming. I'm old enough. Some of you are older. Most of you are younger. When I was a kid and I wasn't saved, I used to love watching with my mom and dad Buck Owens and Roy Clark. Hee-haw! And they'd do an episode, a skit on that show every week, and they'd sing a song and they'd talk about it, and it would be doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, incessant misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. That's the way it sounded to me, that twang. Okay, now that got into my head and I never forgot it. I go, I don't want to be like them. They look like fools. We whine and complain. You ever think about this? You ever watch little kids? When they want something and they don't get it, life is about to end. He's in nursery this morning. So, and guess what? You know, I'm not going to pick on physical grandchildren this morning. Sam? Derek? Pastor Kenny's not home yet. And I'm Papa to Uriah and Elijah and Mela. And typical little boy, we're over in Sunday school before, you know, most of the people hadn't got in yet to pray for the teachers. And Elijah wanted mommy's attention, and she says, no, you can't do that. But, and she said, I said no. So he went to hit her because she wasn't going to pay attention to him to get his attention. Now, he didn't punch her. He slapped her. Well, he hit her on her abdomen. And I looked and I go, Uriah, Elijah, Daddy's not here. But Papa saw that. Oh, no. Life was flashing before his eyes. And I said, you don't hit mommy. You could hurt your little baby brother or sister that's in mommy's belly. Now, what do you got to tell your mom? Because if you don't, Papa's going to be talking to Daddy later today. I don't want him afraid of me, but it's a case of, and he just goes, I'm sorry. So then afterwards, I come up and he says, we good, buddy? And he goes, yeah, and he gives me a high five. But he wanted attention, right? You know, we complain. You know what? You're only a physical child once in your life, right? Do you know when you get saved, you're a spiritual baby and a spiritual child? And if you're truly saved, it only happens once. You don't get saved and then lost and then saved again. But you got to grow, okay? I can remember, and I've used this illustration, people who've been in church a long time goes, when is he going to get new ones? I've had 9 concussions. I can barely remember the old ones. My dad is a decorated Marine from World War II. As he was going across the Pacific, they didn't have time. They trained the Marines. They were trying to get them ready for battle, and they're shipping them out pretty quick. And they're Marines. That means mobile amphibious. That means amphibious. They attack from the water. Okay, they come in. So I turn around, and my dad, he's a Marine, and they found out he was a lifeguard and a senior swimming instructor as a teenager. And they told him, Corporal Legault, you're going to teach the men how to swim as they go across the Pacific. And they dropped anchor, and great big old carrier, and he's turning around, not as big as the ones today. In World War II, they had no... Now those carriers are big cities. They're just a regular World War II aircraft carrier. And he said, I got to teach him how to swim. He said, yep. He says, I got a way of doing this. He'd throw them off the fantail. They'd hit the water. They didn't know how to swim. They'd go down, and by the time they popped up, he dove in, come underneath, and he's holding them up. He's kicking his feet. He's holding them up, and he says, now grab water like a dog. Keep your fingers together, kick your feet, and do this. If you do that, you're not going to drown. He can't teach them to do the Australian crawl or the breaststroke or the scissors kick or all this stuff. He's trying to teach them how to save their own lives. Because you know what they're going to be? They're going to be near the water. You got me? So, I grew up in Fairhaven. We had a little chunk, 27 feet of bayfront property that tied to the big corner yard that my family had on a curve down the north end of Fairhaven. Right down there's Little Sodus Bay, Fairhaven Bay, and I'm playing near the water all the time. My sister's playing near the water, and my dad says, you ain't playing here near the water until you know how to swim. But I can just walk in the water. He says, yeah, but if you go off the end of the dock, you're over your head. But I'll play on the shore. Yeah, you will. You know, what do kids, they tell you what they'll do, and then do they do it? All of you are guilty of this too. I know how I was, so don't make faces at me. All right? So he turns around, and he says, I'll teach him how to swim. And my mom says, Louie, you're making him afraid. He's not ready. He goes, if he's playing near the water, he better be ready. Right? You better be ready. So he taught my sister and I to swim like he taught the Marines. He picked us up, walked to the end of the dock. He didn't just kick us off the end of the fantail. He threw us up into the air, and we come down off the end of the dock and water over our head, and you come up and you're, and he's in the water and he picks you up and he goes, you're okay. Your father's got you. Remember that. I got you. Now, keep your fingers cupped together and kick like a dog and kick your feet. I'm going to let go of you. You got to make it to shore by yourself. Learn to swim. By the end of that week, now he took a little more time with us. We learned how to do the breaststroke. We learned how to scissor kick. He taught us, he says, you like catching frogs, swim like they do. Taught us all these different things so we'd be safe in the water. Because I was spending, after that, 4 or 5 hours a day. I lived right on the bay. I was either near the water or in the water. I was either fishing or goofing and playing. And he wanted to make sure that if I'm going to be there, I'm going to be safe. But I had to, by faith, trust that my father, he had taught me the right things. You still with me? Definition of tribulation. To glory means to have a joyful attitude. And not talking about God's glory, it's talking about us glory in Him. It means to have a joyful attitude. You're almost boasting about Him. Tribulations are the things you go through that you don't want to have to go through. Do you know what God tells us during tribulations? If David was a man after God's own heart, and I just gave you an illustration of David crying out to him, it's okay to grieve during a tribulation. It's okay to, during a trial, to grieve. To grieve means to feel pain of mind or heart. It's okay. God says, cry unto me. Call out to me. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Joy, rejoicing. Now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. It's true, manifold. Multiple, okay, like a manifold on a car. Four-cylinder manifold, six-cylinder manifold, eight-cylinder manifold. Women, if your husbands don't understand, explain it to them. Pump, same way, different manifolds on the pump. It opens up, there's a manifold. It means multiple temptations. Okay? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though so now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. See, because it's multiple tribulations. But rejoice in as much ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. When Judy was having our first baby, AJ, she had no idea what was going through. Men, we may be physically stronger in a moment. We are not physically and emotionally stronger than women. If it came to having giving childbirth, we'd be wimps. Okay? Men don't have any idea what it's like. The closest thing you can have to giving birth to a baby, and it's still not the same as having a baby come out of you, is to have severe kidney stone attacks that'll knock you off your feet, curl you up in a ball because it hurts too much. That's the closest thing a man's going to go through to have that and still come out okay. That's what that woman does to have your child. Okay? You say, why are you making that point? Because so many times, well, they're the women, you are the weaker sex in some things. Women put up with more. This is not in my notes, but women put up with more than men do on a daily basis. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you she puts up with me. 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 4. Thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial. Judy had never been through pain like that. Of course, I wanted to be there for her. The rage when my children were born was Lamaze classes, where you go and you help your wife, you teach her how to breathe, and you practice Kegels as she practiced Kegels. It's still good even when you're older and you're not having babies. Practice Kegels. It's another story. Okay. But you're practicing Kegels with her, and then you're teaching her, breathe, 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 breathe. And when it's time for the baby born, it's push. And so you're helping her. She's going through this. My father never did that. I got medals from World War II. He never watched a child be born. He stayed out in the waiting room smoking a cigar. Got another kid here. Never knew what my mother went through. Eight of them. I'm seventh of eight. I'm there with Judy, and they tell you this. We watch the video. You watch a video of natural childbirth. Yeah. You do all this stuff. She gets in the middle of this. She had 24 hours of hard labor because AJ was stubborn. He didn't want to come out. And she's hurting. And she'd have women, you know what a camelback is? That's when one contraction in that spasm doubles up on another one. And they're hurting bad. And she looked up at me during one of those after 18 hours, and she says, I hate you. You did this to me. And I looked and I said, well, I hope so. He goes, I don't think I could ever go through this again. The baby gets born. Used to keep you in the hospital about 3 days then. Now they throw you out. Okay. I'm going there and he's changing the diapers and everything, you know, and I get first time changing AJ's diapers. Told you he was stubborn. I pulled the diaper back. He peed in my face. And I said, Jude, you've been talking to him. I said, how you feeling, honey? Isn't he so perfect? That women, isn't they so perfect? We're going to have another one, aren't we? When you're going through it, you don't think you can make it. Glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. That little baby boy came out. Then we had Michael. Major health problems with him. Born the next day, 106 degree temperature for 2 weeks. Spinal meningitis as a newborn. She didn't complain about the birth of AJ. She didn't complain, afterwards. She knew what she was doing, ready to give birth to Michael. And then they're rushing our baby by ambulance to Crouse Irving and telling us, let him die. He won't be normal. They got that right. He's one of me, not normal, okay? For 2 weeks, my wife slept on black mats in the neonatal intensive care unit of Crouse Irving Memorial Hospital next to his bed so we could make sure that the doctors kept treating him, because I told him, if you don't, I'll own your hospital if it takes me the rest of my life, because they told us to let him die. That's what they knew. He won't be anywhere normal. He's going to be mentally retarded. He's going to be deficient. He could be blind. He won't be able to do this. He'll have no quality of life. You need to let him go. You know what we told him? God gave him to us. You do what you can. God takes care of the rest. Not bad. IQ of 148, that's pretty stupid. Glory and tribulations. You've watched my family. My daughter. And I'll tell you, God is always good and God is always right. We just don't always understand. Because you know what? Back in our text, Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That means you can put up with it. Don't pray for patience, because to get patience, you got to have tribulation. Don't borrow trouble, my mother used to say. Okay? Don't borrow it. But tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Oh, I know what that's like. I can get through that. And experience hope. I say this to you because just don't quit. Sooner or later, you're going to see the reason. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. Hope. Pastor Ken and I cried about, or we cried and then we prayed. He's got an amazing story to tell you, and that's his to tell you. I'm sure he will. Because all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You ever remember a time, little ones, some of the older girls, they help with the younger babies, the mom and dad. You ever remember when your baby cried after you set him or her down? Or they cried when you first brought them home, they laid in the bed next to you, and then all of a sudden, they don't sleep with you anymore? I don't know, maybe you never did this, but I used to stand in the darkness right next to their bedroom. In the dark where the child couldn't see me. Mother, make sure they're okay. Let them cry. You don't know, I don't want my baby to cry. I don't want my baby to cry. That's not that they're hurting. You know why babies gotta cry? Because it builds their lungs. They need to cry to grow. They need to cry. If you don't, their lungs won't develop properly. So sometimes they're whining, they're complaining, they're crying. With a baby, it's, I'm wet, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm hot, I just am. Right? Sounds like me sometimes. Their lungs need to develop. You know, my dad with a Marine Corps attitude, I used to coach the basketball team at the Christian school. And they struggled. And I was watching my sons were playing, and I go, they're not doing this right. I'm going to do this differently with them. Okay? And I took my father's attitude. You know what the Marine Corps taught him? That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's the way I coached the basketball team. Had two or three mothers come up and say, you're too hard on them. In my mind, I wanted to say, shut up, or you're going to run laps with them too. Maybe you need to do a couple suicides, and then you won't have a problem. Well, you can't do that to the mothers of people paying to put their kids in a Christian school. You can't do that. So Chuck Holdridge, who was the principal of the school, would say, Bryant, be nice. He'd been talking to my wife. Because you know what? I told him, if I don't push your kid, I don't push your son, we're going to get in the fourth quarter and he's going to be too tired and he's going to give up. And then he's going to feel bad because he didn't win or didn't give his best. So I'm going to push him. so that they can learn that they can do more than what they think they can do. Special Forces training, Navy SEALs. I'm not a Navy SEAL. I probably could never have passed that when I was healthy. I don't know, there's not a Navy SEAL that I know of in this auditorium today. There's other elite groups. The Army has one. The Air Force has one. The Army has two or three Special Forces groups. Marines, Recon, they have their Special Forces groups. They'll take a guy in the SEAL training, and they continue putting them harder and harder tests, more tribulation in their life. They'll push them past their limits of endurance. There's one test that they drop them out of a helicopter in the ocean, the whole group, and they leave them there. Even to the point where they start to drown, and her buddy has to hold them up. So they all got to work together, because you don't. Marine Corps, no one left behind. Army, same attitude. You don't leave them behind. Bear ye one another's, so fulfill the law of Christ. They're going through it. They leave them there to the point they're being observed, but they're watching them. They have to stay in the water hours in heavy waves, cold temperatures. You know what they learn? They learn to trust the one alongside them, to trust their partner to save them. They develop an unbreakable bond, so when they go into battle, they can trust the one on their 3 o'clock, one on their 9 o'clock, the one who's at the 6 o'clock behind them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It develops a bond when you go through the tribulation together. You know, God's intention is not to break you. He doesn't give you tribulation, allow tribulation to break you. He does it to strengthen our faith in trials, not to destroy us. You know why? It's because God wants you ready when you're near the water. Amen? If you're not going through it yet, you will be one day. My brethren, count it all joy when they fall into divers. That's different, multiple temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Ooh, that comes back. So the trying of my faith is another name for tribulations. Two things are similar or not different, right? Tribulations worketh patience. Patience experience, experience hope. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. It's complete. Ye being perfect, entire, not wanting nothing. See what that's for? That it may have its perfect work, entire, wanting nothing. Whether you know it or not, every day of your life is a new beach landing. You're near the water. When you're around people, the Bible talks about the waters. You're there. What's the purpose of that? How can you glory in something? What's the purpose of it? 1 Peter 1. Why would God allow tribulation to come into my life like that? It hurts. Lord, I can't. Lord, I just can't. I can't face that another day. I can't deal with that. Lord, please, do you hear me? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than what the world lives for, right? The trial of your faith before God, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing, the purpose of trials? 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, the Father of mercy, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforted us. Okay, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all. When you're willing to look to Him, He will comfort. Who comforteth in all our tribulations. Why would He do that? So that you learn when you're going through the trial, you're going through the tribulation, you've got that problem, you look to Him. Set your affections on things above and not things here on this earth. The God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There's the purpose. You look to Him, and you help others look to Him. You do that. Got to remember, back in Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the what? Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. Your love and faith in God will grow. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, right? Nor height, nor depth, things present, things to come. Turn to Romans chapter 8. What is He telling us? He tells us in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation worketh patience, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, even despairing and fearing of your life being taken. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, all those tribulations, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, what you're going through right now, or things to come, what you're going to go through tomorrow, next week, next month, because you're going to go through it until the sound of the trumpet. Amen. Things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what happens when the tribulation come into your life and you don't quit and you go through it with somebody? You love more. You love more. You went through it together. You went through it with your Savior. You learn to appreciate God more because you come out the other side. But those who go through it with you and they stick, and you stick for them, two is better than one, and a threefold cord intertwined is not soon broken. It's not soon broken. Greater love comes through that trial. Let me see here. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. Now we read verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. My salvation is not complete until I'm face to face with Christ my Savior. Greater love comes from greater trials. Greater love comes from going through the testing and the temptations and sticking by. 51 years I've been married. That poor woman's put up with me for 51 years. 7 ambulance rides for me. I got her beat. 9 concussions. 27 surgeries. Me. She stuck with me. Ambulance ride for her. 2 times. For mercy flights with her. I don't fit in little private planes. The first time we flew, mercy flight, angel flight, because of her cancer, down to Philadelphia, dealing with everything. The pilot looked at me and he goes, I don't know about you. Mrs. Legault, you got to move behind me because you can't sit behind him. There really was no seat there. It was a bench. And he said, keep your head down and keep your feet together. Don't touch that. That's the rudder controls on this side of the plane, and you're not my co-pilot. He was a saved man. He had fun with me. We flew down in the winter. He had no heat in the plane. It was a free ride. Mercy flights. They volunteer their time. They give us a ride. They're angels. You know that? They call it angel flights. We've flown down. Not once. Not twice. Not just 3 times. She looks at me and she goes, you don't have to do this. And I told her, I will give anything and everything for one more day with you because I love you and you love me. And you can't replace that. Look at your Savior. People, he gave everything because he loves you. When you go through a tribulation or a trial that he uses to draw you closer, to give you the ability to minister to somebody hurting, you glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. We never quit. Judy's a very strong-willed person. She looks at me and she says, men don't have feelings. If they did, who cares? Okay, she's teasing. But she wants me to be strong, okay? And she's been there for me, and I've been there for her, and our Savior in that book has been there for both of us. You glory in tribulations, and you don't quit. I keep praying for her, and there's other people I pray for every day. Lord, they're getting older. I want them to go up in the rapture together. Judy and I want to go up together. Lord, if we don't, your will be done. I'm not telling you what your will is, but Heavenly Father, they love each other. They want to go up together. They want to hear the sound of the trumpet. They don't want one to go before the other. Judy and I have kidded and said, she says, I got to go first because I don't want to be here without you. And I tell her, you can't go first because I don't get along without you. All right? And you know why that happens? Because you don't quit in the tribulation. For my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that when I am weak, then I am strong. Don't quit. Tribulations, please stand. I don't know this morning what you may be going through. I don't know. If you're not going through something right now, give it time. You'll go through something. You'll go through it with the people you love. They'll go through it with you. But I know this. When you start quitting, it becomes easier to quit the next time. You don't quit. My daughter was in college during 9/11 down in when the towers went down. She had a professor who was on the plane that was taken down by Americans when they yelled, "Let's roll," to keep it from running into another building. That was one of her professors that she liked. He died that day. Gave his life so multitude others could live. Scarcely for a righteous man would some dare die. But God commended his love towards us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me, died for you. In New York City, they had trained rescue workers. The police, the firemen, they were running into the rubble, the pile of what was left of the Twin Towers. Reporters were watching. Men would come out of that and try to tell what they saw when they're inside. They'd get physically sick and start retching and vomiting on the shoulder of the road or the street. Then they think maybe there's one more. And they go back into the building. Back in. One more person to try to save. One more body to bring out, because you don't leave someone behind. Christian, you're a rescue worker in the pile of rubble that this world is. You have a choice. You can allow your faith to be tested, a tribulation come, and ultimately be strengthened and be able to give greater love. Or you can turn from that, get bitter, and quit. Jesus made it. In Romans 5, it says we can have peace with God. When you learn to not quit, and you learn to go through it, you will glory in tribulations, because tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope that the world does not have. If God's speaking your heart this morning, believer, maybe you're going through something. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, "God, I don't know all of it right now, but I know you're going through it with me. Help me, Father. Help me. I'm near the water. Help me. It's going over my head. Help me." If the Spirit is speaking to your heart, maybe you need to come. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you come and we'll have someone open the Bible and show you how that you can know before you leave this building that Christ is your Savior, heaven is your home, and you are secure for all eternity. You've got to speak in your heart. You come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray, Father, use this message to speak to our hearts. Father, there's some people in here, they're going through some things and their heart is heavy. Father, there's others that maybe they just come through something and their heart has been heavy. Help them to rejoice in the hope that this world doesn't have, that one day they'll be with their Savior and their loved ones, Father. Help them to know, Father, that you allowed them to go through that and it was precious to you. And it has greater value than what the world bases everything on, the silver and the gold. And that they will be glorified when you return in your glory. Work as only you can, and we'll thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.